For musicians these days, the struggle to find your own creative voice is almost second to the struggle to be heard at all. The acoustic duo Ryan Hood has worked hard to create a place for itself in today's musical marketplace, using what some might say is an old-fashioned approach of a busy touring schedule and a commitment to playing their music wherever and whenever they have the chance. Ryan Hood has won over listeners one by one. The band's name is derived from the names of its members, Ryan Green and Cameron Hood, who both sing and play guitar. You'll get a chance to hear some songs from their new album next in this Spotlight session. So Ryan Hood is a band with really strong Tucson roots. You're both from here, but I understand the band originated somewhere else. What's the story behind that?
I went to college in Boston at Berklee College of Music, and once I finished there, I began to sort of learn about the street performing scene there, and really became convinced that I could do that and we could do that. So I contacted Cameron, and we were just sort of a little side band at that point. We both had full-time bands, but those bands dissolved. I called him up and convinced him to come out there and become a street performer with me. So it was shortly after he graduated from the University of Arizona that he moved out there, and we began making our living as street performers in Boston, in the subways and at Quincy Market there.
Well, Cameron, there has to be a lot of good stories about the early days of the band. What was something memorable from one of your first busking experiences?
Oh my gosh. They were hard, actually. You really have to build a crowd out of nothing, you know, so especially being like in an outdoor market or something. People are walking by to buy souvenirs or something. So you've got to pick a good song, like a really up kind of energetic song, and then really build a crowd during the song, engaging a lot of eye contact, that sort of thing. And by the end of that song, you know, you can really maybe have 10 people around you, and then you get them to cheer, so that would bring more people. But when that didn't happen, we would sort of finish a song and open our eyes and look out, and there's, you know, maybe like one person or nobody there. We would start getting frustrated with each other, like, you picked the wrong song, or like, you were out of tune, as if those were the things that made a crowd like not gather around us. And you know, there could have been a million other factors, but that was our living. So you had to like draw a crowd, you had to engage people, or you didn't make rent, you know.
And even when we thought that something didn't go well, echoes of that still show up, where we'll go play in, you know, somewhere in Wisconsin, and somebody will run up to us and say, oh my gosh, I saw you guys street performing in Boston 6 years ago, you know. And so there's still traces of that all around, luckily, so it did pay off.
We just got our CD into as many hands as possible, and then they fanned out across the country. And over the next couple of years, like Ryan said, we just kept finding people who had seen us during those like 2 years in Boston. And so the seeds were planted, and they spread all over the country.
We asked you to do an instrumental while you were here as well, and you said you had one, and it was called Appy Jam. So I want to know where that name came from.
Well, naming instrumentals is always sort of a funny, subjective thing anyway to do, but it has many meanings. It's sort of a subtle reference to my wife, whose name is Abby, as well as a shortening of the word happy. So it's really, I mostly think about happy jam is really kind of what it's getting at.
Listening to your tracks that you recorded here in the studio, I can tell, Ryan, you've got a very precise style. You've got a really almost aggressive way of playing the acoustic guitar. So how would you describe your technique, and what do you think is the main influence on the way that you play?
Every trick I had on electric didn't work on an acoustic, and so I borrow a lot from bluegrass styles, and I listen to Bela Fleck. He's a banjo player, but I really like his playing, his compositions, his bands. Chris Thiele from Nickel Creek is probably the most precise player I've ever heard. I'm not a bluegrass guitarist, but I learn about you know, what do they do to make a solo work, and incorporating open strings and pull-offs and just different articulations that make the guitar really chime and ring out.
I played in a lot of rock bands in high school and college, and so it was a switch for me also to come to a folk duo where I had to play, you know, all the rhythm and percussion of the band, basically, and also sing. At times, I have not always been great at that, you know, not always great at keeping a steady rhythm. I get excited when I start emoting vocally, my rhythm starts to speed up, and, you know, afterwards, Ryan can kind of say, hey, you got a little bit out of control on the chorus there, and I go, no, I didn't, I was just passionate, you know, and he goes, well, listen to the recording, you know, and I kind of listen back, and so it's been a process of kind of taming that.
playing and singing requires a certain kind of headspace to achieve. What kind of images are in your head when you're playing? Are you ever thinking about pictures, or is it a matter of not thinking about the audience? What works best for you when you're on stage?
The performance goes best once we've played a song enough times that we don't have to think about the technical aspect of the song. And then we're free to start thinking about the meaning of the song, the impact of the song. I would say at first we're thinking about the meaning of it and the heart of it, and you go through a long phase where that's what's pouring out. And then you've played a song so many times that you're beyond that, and at that point you're looking at the reception of the song and you're seeing the meaning of it to other people. And that's an equally powerful time when you're able to just perform the song and watch it land and kind of be moved by the way it's moving other people at that point.
And Cameron, what about for you? What's often in your head on stage?
Well, I think that he said it really well. I think I absolutely agree with that progression. Oftentimes I will see the song in my head, though. So a song like Second City that's very visual, I'm seeing a city falling apart, and I'm seeing the different moments and the burned out parks and the burned out bridges and people sort of going through hardship. So I'm a very visual person, so I actually do see that a lot. But I go back and forth between my own meaning and my own images and watching to see whether these things mean anything to other people. I mean, as an artist, you want to just write things that are meaningful for you, but there's also that wanting it to somehow like matter to someone else. You know? So good and full of promise, so long, so long to everything we've lost. And though downtown is falling down on the ground now, and all your hope has blown as ashes around now, brick by brick, beat by beat, heart will survive till Second City.
So Ryan, tell me about this next song.
Well, this song started as a demo. I was recording a bunch of instrumental songs on guitar and had no vision for attaching vocals to any of them. And I gave this little 5-song instrumental EP to Cameron for Christmas, I think. And he
it was called Winter Mentals.
And he and he picked a couple off of it that he wanted to turn into songs. And he wrote lyrics. He really had a strong set of lyrics for it.
I was really moved by the main melodic motion of the guitar part. And I really felt like words and an idea grew from that. And so I kind of hijacked it, but you know, he didn't really give me permission to do that. But I wrote all this on my own and then presented it back to him. And he was kind of like, well, I'm not sure. And I just sort of said, hey, if you can fit these words anyway into this song, like do it, you know, find a way to do it. And I think that maybe he took more ownership of it at that point, once he kind of started pairing the words I'd written with the music that he'd written.
My heart is a house, you're the brick that is missing. And this is my fault, I'm not the hole in the wall. And now it's December, there's wind on my face. But I didn't put anything into your place. Didn't put anything into your place. My heart is a house, you're the room that is empty. And this is on me, I put you out on the street. By Valentine's Day I was a miserable case. But I didn't put anything into your place. Didn't put anything into your place. Ooh, oh. I don't know why I always try to fill these holes that fill my life when I'm waiting. hope someday they'll go away. These memories take time to fade, but they're fading.
That was music from Ryan Green and Cameron Hood, the acoustic duo known as Ryan Hood. They're celebrating the release of their fourth album, After Night Came Sun, on Friday night, that's November 4th, at the Rialto Theater with guest the Silver Thread Trio. The music heard in this Spotlight session was recorded and mixed by Jim Blackwood. You can find links for more information, as well as a bonus track, on the Arizona Spotlight page at azpm.org.